We are grateful to those who have blessed us with their musical offerings, helping us enter into this time of worship. Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Christ candle sheds its light into the deepest recesses of our sin and shame. On the cross, Jesus bled and died, putting death to it all, and after 3 days rose again to show us the endless love of God is real and alive. The place where you meet God is holy ground. Be still and let his greatness surround you. Sing songs of praise to the Lord and repeat the stories of faith, those that inspire us to respond to Christ's love. God called us here in whispering winds and in burning flames, and with his presence disarms us of the barriers we have placed around ourselves. Instead, God meets us in our vulnerability, our humanity. Let us worship our Lord.
So let us all join together in the prayer of confession. Redeeming God, as you did with Moses, you call to us, marking us as your own. Yet there are times when we choose to ignore your voice and listen instead to our own needs and desires and to those voices that challenge our faith. Forgive us for those times and for how they have distracted us from your call and from the needs of others. Help us to know your love, to hear your voice, and to respond to your call, so that we might find our place within your creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, the blazing fire of God's presence does not destroy us, but refines us. In Christ, God has come to deliver us, to forgive us for our sins, and to restore us to life. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
The reading today is taken from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that, he turned aside to look. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from their land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. And now, behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. The word of God. Thanks be to God.
This summer, we have been remembering the history of the Israelites and God's promise to form them into a nation of blessed people through whom God's plan was to bless the whole world. Well, I'm fairly sure that if we were able to gather together and have a really good discussion about this idea, and even more about the Christian belief that because of Jesus, we are now part of that blessed and blessing people, I think we'd probably discover at least two things. I think we might see that most of us kind of like this idea of being blessed. It sounds good. I think we might also see that most of us struggle a bit with the idea that God could and would bless the world through our lives in some way. The idea that God might be calling you or I to a specific part in his blessing work, well, that can make us uncomfortable. The idea that God calls in principle is fine, but the idea that God might be calling us, well, that's a whole different thing. Well, as it happens, we see this throughout the biblical story. God could do his work in this world alone, but it seems that very often he chooses not to. God seems to like to have us join him in his kingdom work. Like a loving and endlessly patient parent, God seems to delight in having one or more of his beloved kids working alongside of him. Well, today's story is, without a doubt, one of the best known stories of God calling someone to join in his work. Even if you've not spent much time in the Bible, you probably heard something about this story of God calling Moses. You'll remember that Moses is off in Midian, minding his own business. Well, actually, he's minding his father-in-law Jethro's business. He's working as a shepherd, taking care of Jethro's flock. When one day, out in the wilderness at Mount Horeb, God appears to Moses in the flames of a burning bush. As Moses goes forward to explore this strange sight, he hears God call, Moses, Moses. And Moses responds with those words that we hear coming so often from the mouths of those who hear God's call. He replies simply, here I am. And with that reply, a conversation begins. God tells Moses that he has heard the cry of the Israelites in Egypt and he's planning to rescue them. And then he calls Moses to go to Egypt, to be the leader that God will work through to deliver his people to freedom. Remember how I just said this was a conversation? It truly was. Because after Moses' initial simple response of, "Here I am," he quickly follows with objection after objection, 8 of them in total. He doubts his own abilities to lead God's people. He doubts that they would ever believe that God has sent him to lead them. And really, honestly, he would just rather God picked someone else to do the job. And honestly, I don't really blame the poor guy. It was a massive call. But God just patiently walks him through each protest until reluctantly Moses finally accepts the call and returns to Egypt. This is a famous story of God calling someone to a role that would end up making history. It's also a story that rings with authenticity. Moses is not presented as a storybook hero who gallantly rises to the call of God in his life. No, the Moses we hear is anxious and reluctant and even a bit obstinate. He seems to lack faith and courage and a number of qualities that one might expect in a great leader. Well, while you and I may never be able to relate to the experience of being called by God to lead a nation to freedom, I suspect that at least some of us might be able to relate to Moses' reluctance to hear and respond to God's call. Most of us probably have our own doubts. We might doubt that God is calling us, and even if we do believe that he is, then we might feel completely inadequate to answer his call. Or, if we're going to be painfully honest, we might be just like Moses and just wish God would send someone else. Friends, I've talked to a lot of people and I've heard lots of stories of God calling them. In fact, I love listening to call stories. They're awesome. And I can honestly tell you that in the stories that I've heard, and even in my own experience of sensing God's call, reluctance is a common theme. When God calls, like Moses, many of us just feel like saying, "You know, no, God, I'm sorry, but I think there's been some mistake." One of the things that I love about the story of Moses' call is how patiently God listens to and then addresses each of his objections. With just one exception, God responds by assuring Moses that he will be with him and that he will give him what he needs to live out the call. God promises to give Moses the words he needs. He promises to give him the ability to speak them, and he promises to give him signs that would convince the people of his God-given authority. It's only when Moses' fear overcomes him and he tells God to just send someone else, that's the only time we see God being anything other than endlessly patient. God gets angry with that flat-out refusal. But even in his anger, he doesn't give up on Moses. He realizes that Moses needs some support, and so he makes a concession, perhaps. He promises to send Moses' brother Aaron with him. And so with that, Moses finally relents. He accepts the call, and he heads to Egypt. Now, friends, the good news in this is that the same God who so patiently helped Moses as he wrestled with his call is here for us as we respond to our own calls to join in his work in the world. In his responses to Moses' objections, God is actually showing us some things that can help us when we experience our own feelings of reluctance. He's showing us that he doesn't call perfect people. So if we think we need to be perfect, well, that's just not true. Moses had flaws, but they didn't seem to disqualify him from being the one God was calling to lead the Israelites to freedom. I think God's also showing us in this that even biblical giants like Moses don't feel equipped to live out the call God has for them. It's natural to feel like you can't do it, because alone, you can't. Which is exactly why God has promised us the same thing as he promised Moses, that he will be with us every step of the way, providing what we need as we need it. When God first calls, we can't possibly feel fully prepared, because we can't possibly anticipate how it's all going to play out. You know, I confess that is actually hitting pretty close to home for me right now, as I begin my tenure as your minister in the midst of a global pandemic that no one saw coming when I was called. You know, all of these things are important, and they're even encouraging truths we can hold to and learn from. But honestly, the thing that actually struck me the most in this story that I know quite well was something that I've not ever noticed before. You would expect that Moses' reluctance to answer God's call would be a problem, and a problem for God. But it doesn't seem to have been. Apart from that one time when God's anger rose, we see God just patiently walking Moses through all of his fears. And I've been wondering about that. I've been wondering if perhaps Moses' honesty in voicing all of these objections is actually part of what God saw in him. Moses didn't have any illusions about his capabilities. He obviously didn't feel any need to put on a show or to hide his downfalls from God. He just honestly was who he was. Doubts, fears, and all. He laid them all before God, nothing hidden. What if that is exactly what God loved in Moses, and knew that he was going to need in the one he was calling to be the leader of that massive rescue mission he was about to launch? What if that's exactly what God needs in us as he calls us? Honesty about who we are and a willingness to trust him as he responds to our doubts. Friends, we know God doesn't need us to be perfect. I think he might simply want us to be exactly who we are. Because after all, isn't that exactly who he's calling? Amen.
Come down before. morning. It's my privilege to pray with you this morning. In my prayer, I will be quoting a piece of scripture from Psalm 119, the Message translation. In the quote, I've substituted the word I for we. So let's pray. Triune God, Father, God above us, Jesus, God beside us, Holy Spirit, God within us, it is to you that we pray this morning. We come before you with grateful hearts. Thank you for the words from Psalm 119 that says, by your words, we can see where we're going. They throw a beam of light on our dark path. We've committed ourselves and will never turn back from living by your righteous order. Everything's falling apart on us, God. Put us together again with your word. Festoon us with your finest sayings, God. Teach us your holy rules. Our lives are as close as our own hands, but we don't forget what you have revealed. The wicked do their best to throw us off track, but we don't swerve an inch from your course. We inherited your book on living. It's ours forever. What a gift, and how happy it makes us. And now in my own words. Thank you, Almighty loving God, that you are in control. Thank you that you are always faithful to keep your promises, that we can believe what you say and trust you in all things. We come to you in petition, God, for our neighbors, in our building, on our street, in our town, in our country, and around the world. We are one in your eyes and in your heart. You love us all with a holy love. Please remind us every hour of every day how much you love every single soul on this planet. Help us to be godly neighbors. Give us wisdom to follow our hearts in the way of love. And we pray for those that serve as our leaders, for the staff and board members at St. Stephen's. Grant them discernment and peace as they seek to follow you and care for your congregation in these strange times. May they also find peace and joy. For elected leaders of our town, province, and country, guide them in the multitude of decisions that need to be made at this phase of the pandemic. And for those that are suffering physically or caring for ill family members or have recently lost a loved one, we ask for strength, peace, comfort, and eventually joy. We love you, we thank you, we worship you. And thank you for Jesus who taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for your continued faithful giving to the mission of St. Stephen's. Please pray the prayer over the gifts with me. Living God, in the power of your Spirit, let the resurrection of your Son transform our lives. Make us bold in serving you and bringing your good news to others. Help us to share ourselves and our possessions with one another, and especially with those in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, go out into the world to join God in the work of love and peace and justice. Take in the breath of life. Maybe even take off your shoes. knowing that you are ever in the presence of the holy and living God. Go in peace. Go in the name of Christ. Amen.